Thank you for listening to the Ablaze Church Sermon Podcast. Our purpose at Ablaze is to love God, love others, follow Jesus, and tell others. If you are looking for a church home in the Tulsa area, we'd love to have you join us for worship on Saturdays at 6:30 p.m. or Sundays at 10:30 a.m. For more information, please visit our website at ablazechurch.org.
All right, we have a theme for the year, His Story. The theme or the series we are in this month, that'll take us all the way up to Easter, is called His Story According to Mark. Now, in the first chapters of Mark, Jesus teaches the Jewish nation. He heals people, casts out demons, and throws a big banquet. And then he focuses his attention on the Greeks, the Romans, the Gentiles, casting out demons, healing people, teaching, and then he throws a banquet. For the last 6 months, Jesus has been focusing on the disciples, teaching them things that they need to learn before he goes into Jerusalem his last week. Now, a week ago on Sunday, we celebrated the Transfiguration, where Jesus showed his disciples his true glory, along with Elijah and Moses, two greats from the Old Testament. Jesus had the power to bring Elijah and Moses down from heaven to earth and back. Then he clearly described to his disciples three times the future. He said, now listen, I'm going to go to Jerusalem, and there I'm going to be handed over to the chief priests and the scribes and the leadership, and they are going to arrest me. They're going to flog me. They're going to spit on me. They're going to crucify me, but don't let your hearts be troubled. After I die, 3 days later, I will rise from the dead, right over their heads. Three times he tells them clearly what's going to happen. Now, in the Gospel of Mark, last week, Transfiguration, today we're moving to the triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, which is Palm Sunday. But we know we're not celebrating that for 2 weeks, but we're moving chronologically with Mark, okay? So we went 6 months from last week to today. 40% of the Gospel of Matthew and 40% of the Gospel of Mark deal with 1 week. 1 week. So that's why we need to get into what took place on a Sunday before Holy Week. Okay? And then we're going to take a look at Monday and Tuesday. We're going to do that this morning. Okay? So let's take a look at what happened a Sunday before Easter. Chapter 11. It is called the Triumphal Entry. Now, when they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, go into the village in front of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. Let me give you some geography. On the east side of Jerusalem is a big hill, very steep. At this time, it was loaded with olive trees, okay, and fig trees. On the very top of the hill is a little village called Bethany. Okay, Bethany means house of figs. Okay, now coming down, you go through the Garden of Gethsemane. Today, that whole hillside is a cemetery. But yet the Garden of Gethsemane is still there today. I've walked through it. From the east, coming down that hill, heading west, is Jerusalem and a gate to go to the temple. Before that is another little village called Bethphage. What is Bethphage? The house of unripe figs. Yeah. So it's an area, yes, of olive trees, but fig trees. And this is a very important event in the life of, in the event of Holy Week, where a fig tree is addressed. Okay? So you got the geography. Three, if anyone says to you, why are you doing this? Say the Lord has need of it and will send it back here immediately. So he borrows a donkey. And they went away and found a colt tied at a door outside the street, and they untied it. And some of those standing there said to them, what are you doing untying the colt? And they told him what Jesus had said, and they let him go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and threw cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Eight, and many spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches, palm branches, we learn from the other Gospels. That's why it's called Palm Sunday. And they had that they had cut from the fields. Nine, and those who went before and those who followed shouted, Hosanna! Now, of course, many of you have celebrated how many Palm Sundays? Okay. What does Hosanna mean? Oh, I don't have a lot of hands going up. This is what it means. Save us. Hosanna, save us. They see Jesus as the way that they should. Okay? As the Son of Man, the Son of God, the Messiah, the Christ, the Savior of the world. This is the first time that Jesus allows people to publicly proclaim who he is. Before this, he'd heal somebody, cast out a demon. Shh, don't tell anybody. Now he allows people to shout who he is. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. 10, blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. They are acknowledging that he's from the line of David, where the Messiah is to come. Hosanna, save us in the highest. They are proclaiming he's from heaven. Okay? So they're proclaiming exactly who Jesus is. What you should be asking yourself, 5 days from now, they yell, crucify him? How does that happen? We're going to get to that. 11, and he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. Why the temple? And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany, house of figs, with the 12. What's Bethany? That's where Mary, Martha, and Lazarus live. Jesus' hometown, okay, where he lived, was Capernaum. He grew up in Nazareth, and his headquarters for ministry was Bethany, house of figs. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, who he raised from the dead, are from Bethany. All right. Now, Monday morning, he goes into the temple on Palm Sunday, doesn't do anything. Monday morning, he heads back to the temple, but he has to go through Bethany and Bethphage. Okay. On the following day, when he came from Bethany, he was hungry. Have you ever been hungry? And seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, just imagine a beautiful fig tree, nice green leaves. Okay, it's springtime. Beautiful leaves. He went to see if he could find anything on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. Notice this. It was not the season for figs. Why would God Almighty, why would Jesus, who knows everything, go to a fig tree when it wasn't the season for figs? Well, if you understand fig trees, they produce two seasons. Two times they produce figs, one in fall and one in spring. And so any time of the year, you might go to a fig tree and there would be a fig from last season unpicked, and it would just be shriveled up. And you could pluck it and eat it. Okay? And in the springtime, there would be buds or little figs that weren't ripe yet. So he goes to this tree and there's nothing. Nothing from last season. Nothing this season. It is a figless tree. All right. Very important. 14. And he said to it, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples heard it. So here's Jesus speaking to this little old fig tree like that. Why would he do that? Well, there's a reason for it. Now he's going into the temple. Okay? Keep the fig tree in your mind. 15. And they came to Jerusalem. And he entered the temple and began to drive out those who sold and those who bought in the temple. And he overturned the table of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons. Wow, this is not gentle Jesus, is it? This is the second time he clears out the temple. In the beginning of his ministry, 3.5 years earlier, he clears out the temple. 3.5 years again, history repeats itself. He's got to cast out the money changers and the robbers from the temple. 16. And he would not allow anyone to carry anything through the temple. This was more like a flea market. Busy, busy, everybody going here and there, not acknowledging what this building was for. And he was teaching them and saying to them, Is it not written? Now he goes back to scripture, folks. The authority. He says, "Is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer?" Notice this, underline it if you have your own Bible, "for all nations." Not just the Jewish race. All nations, Gentiles and Greeks. Jesus came, the first part, ministered to the Jewish people. Second, he went to the Gentiles, the Romans, and ministered to them. The temple has always been a house for all nations. Remember Jesus, "Go and make disciples of all nations." He is the Savior of all nations, just not one Jewish nation. No, all nations. He makes it very clear when he said this. "But you have made it into a den of robbers." That's scathing. "And the chief priests and the scribes heard it and were seeking a way to destroy him, for they feared him, because all the crowd was astonished at the teaching. And when evening came, they went out of the city." Now, I want to give you a modern day figurative example. Okay? Many of you know that we have a campus at 146 South Sheraton. It's a huge campus. Has a school, it has a basement, it has a multi-purpose room, probably 15 classrooms. Okay? But it's used roughly about 3 to 4 hours a week. Imagine with me, all right, put your thinking hat on, that Pastor Dreyer and the staff and the board of directors said, "Listen, we got to get a new roof, an elevator. We got air conditioners going out. We need to raise some money. Let's put this building with all these empty classrooms. Let's make it into a flea market 3 days a week. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, rent out all these rooms. People can come and they pay us for the room and we can make some money." And sure enough, we decide to do that. And, you know, the auto mechanic store comes in and says, we'd like to sell some extra auto mechanic pieces. And, well, yes, we'll rent this booth, this room for $100. The church across the street says, hey, we gotta get some money for our youth group. Can we rent a booth for the flea market and a room? Yes, $200. We're going to stick it to the Christians, okay? Because that's who we are, right? We got to make the money. And all of a sudden, this money comes pouring in. Because we're open now on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and people are coming all over. Multi-purpose room is filled. And so much money is coming in. We get the roof, the elevator, air conditioners, and we raise the staff salary by 100%. Oh, wow, yeah. The money's so good, the board of directors, because they got to work extra now, we pay them a hefty salary. Well, and everybody seems to be so happy, okay? And then one of the teachers in the church stands up. His name is Mike Trinkline, who teaches an adult Bible study. He would be known as a rabbi, a teacher. And he says to the board of directors and to the pastor and the staff, he says, this is wrong. You should be doing this. If you can't serve God in money, you'll love one and hate the other. And he goes to a board of directors meeting and throws a table over and leaves. Well, the board of directors who have a hefty salary and the pastor and the staff who doubled their salary are kind of worried because he's got some followers. And so they come up with a plan. Let's us execute him. Excommunicate him. Okay? And they excommunicate him. Now, I know that's ridiculous. That's far-fetched. But that's exactly what they did in the temple. They were robbing people, their own kind, charging unbelievable prices. And people didn't care about the building, what was going on. And Jesus comes in for the second time and throws them all out and says, this house is to be a house of prayer. Yeah. Hopefully you can understand that a little better. All right. Now let's notice what happens. Verse 20, or verse 19, and when evening came, they went out of the city. 20, and they passed by in the morning. Now it's Tuesday morning, folks, Holy Week. You know the geography. And as they passed by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered away to its roots. Now, in a 24-hour period, this leafy, beautiful fig tree is all shriveled up, even its roots. How does that happen? And Peter remembered and said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you cursed has withered. What is all this about? Let me kind of jump ahead. You ready, folks? It's about you. And me. It's about the house of God, a building. It's about what we do. Because we are the living stones built into the house, the temple of God, but yet we gather in a building too, don't we? Now, it was the Jewish nation that worshiped that building. There were beautiful leaves of solid gold in the temple. Ah, a fig tree with just leaves. It was beautiful. That temple was absolutely gorgeous, like a beautiful fig tree. But no fruit because of the people who worshiped within it. What did they do? Rob people? Steal from people, misuse people, did not pray in it like they were supposed to. This is the fruit that Jesus wants from his church, which is the people. Living stones. You ready? 22. And Jesus answered them, have faith in God. That's the number one fruit. Do you have faith in God this morning? Do you? That means, do you trust him? 23. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, figurative speech again, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt it in his heart, but believes, quit doubting is another fruit, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. Meaning, what mountain do you have in your life? What do we as a church have a mountain? We have faith in God, trust him, and he will guide us and lead us. What is the moving of the mountain? This is the church of God in this world moving mountains. It's you and I coming together. 24. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, this building, or when we come together in this building as the true temple of God, our fruit should be trust, to believe, not to doubt. The fruit should be prayer. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe, and you will have received it, and it will be yours. 25, and whenever you stand praying, forgive. Here's the big fruit. You ready? Forgiveness. Got a question for you. Who this morning do you have a grudge against? Who this morning remembers who has wronged them? You know what the world proclaims? Watch any movie, any show, any series. Vengeance. Get even. You know what Jesus says? Forgive. You know what hinders your prayers? All right, this is a tough one, folks. You pray a lot. You know what shuts it down before God? Your lack of forgiveness. If there's somebody who's wronged you and you're not going to forgive them, Pastor, they don't deserve it. Doesn't matter. Forgive them. They haven't asked for forgiveness. It doesn't matter. Forgive them. Whatever has anybody done to you, and everybody gets wronged. Let me say that again. Every one of you has been wronged by somebody. I have been. But you have to release that and forgive. Why? Your God commands it. And your God says, I'm not going to listen to your prayers until you forgive as I have forgiven you. What has God forgiven you of? Think about it. All your sins, God wipes clean. But you can't forgive somebody else who's wronged you. They crucified him. They spit upon him, mocked him, flogged him. And he said, Father, forgive them. For they don't know what they do. Yeah, this is serious stuff. This is a fig tree producing figs. Whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also, who is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. He's not saying, go and forgive them. He's saying, in your prayer, forgive them. Now, later on, he says, or he does say, if you have wronged somebody, go and make it right. But this is somebody who has wronged you. You don't need to go to them. You just forgive them. Yeah. That's the fruit of the fig tree. That's what Jesus is hungry for. All right. Now remember, that tree is cursed and never again produces fruit, shriveled up. Let me take you forward 70 years from this event. 70 years from this event, the temple is flattened to its foundation, shriveled up, and I believe never to be raised again. Never to be that place where people rob and steal. And I say this because I truly believe even the Jewish nation doesn't want the temple built again. You know why? This is just me talking. Because then they'd have to sacrifice animals again. And they're not going to do that. I believe the tree represents the temple. It's gone. But Jesus resurrected the temple again. Us, living stones. We are the house of prayer and trust and faith and belief and forgiveness. All right, you got it. 27. And they came again to Jerusalem. And as he was walking in the temple, the chief priests and the scribes and the elders came to him. And they said to him, "By what authority are you doing these things? Or who gave you this authority to do them?" Jesus said to them, "I will ask you one question. Answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things." All right, let me remind you of what's transpired. Remember John the Baptist? He's the forerunner. It is Micah, the last prophet, Old Testament, 400 years, that says, listen, John the Baptist is coming as the forerunner. And when John the Baptist comes, Jesus will come and clear out the temple. This is prophecy being fulfilled. John the Baptist was somebody that people saw as a prophet. Okay? And he was martyred. Now he's a hero. Everybody loved John the Baptist, and now he's a martyr, and he has a great following. But remember, John pointed Jesus as the one. So now we have all these followers of John the Baptist and Jesus. Okay? And Jesus asks the question, was the baptism of John from heaven or from man? Everybody saw him as a prophet from heaven. Okay? Answer me. And they discussed it with one another, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say, why didn't you not believe him? Pointing to him, to Jesus, yeah. 32, but shall we say from man? They were afraid of those people, for they all held that John really was a prophet. Now they are caught in a catch-22. And so they take the easy way out, not hot, not cold, lukewarm. So they answered him, we don't know. Here are these smart people that were supposed to have the answer to everything. And Jesus asks them one question, and they can't answer it. And Jesus said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. Now listen, you don't want to miss Wednesday night. Okay? We're in the Advent season. We have Wednesday. Jesus has a scathing parable that he tells these Pharisees and scribes and leaders. All right, what are you going to take home? Number one, on Palm Sunday, it is the people who recognize and proclaim exactly who Jesus was. The Son of David, the Son of Man, the Son of God, the one who saves. Hosanna. A fig tree plays a major role in an event about the temple and about each and every one of us. If Jesus doesn't find fruit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faith, and forgiveness from us, we will wither up. We will wither up. I'm just telling you. Someone who prays, okay, I believe eventually stops sinning. Not totally. But you show me somebody who continues in a sin, I'll show you somebody who'll stop praying. That's why it's a house of prayer. Check your own lives out here. How's your prayer life? How's your sinful life? You know, one of the best deterrents to sin is prayer. This should be a house of prayer. You should be a house of prayer. And what authority? What is the authority that Jesus had? He's God Almighty. He's the creator of heaven and earth. He's the one sent by the Father. I'm going to read something to you. It's from Hebrews chapter 1. You just listen. It is the writer of Hebrews that puts the gospel message, all of Mark, into a nutshell, into a fig fruit, pun intended. Listen to these words. Chapter 1 of Hebrews, verses 1 through 3. Just listen to them. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe. He upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Most High, the majesty that is God. Amen.